Talking CSU with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth, on the Jim Davis Show.
With us right now, Brian Roth. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Hey, Jim. I haven't been on with you guys in a while, so I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest on this line about a Wednesday.
I'm sure you do. Let's just start with that. It's like, you know, this is your hour of time, like, you know, like we're therapists
right here.
So you paid for the full hour. So
airing good grievances.
Maybe we're not going to go. We're not probably going to go a full hour, but where do you want to start, Brian? Go.
All right. For some reason, I am completely triggered by Anthony Davis's pink shoes.
They trigger you.
I'm triggered by Anthony Davis's post game wardrobe, by his complaining and crying, and just triggered by the Lakers crying in general about the officiating.
LeBron in particular. Of course, that's LeBron's. That's what LeBron does, though.
Oh, my goodness. And then, of course, you know, last year after the Nuggets sweep him, of course, he goes in the press conference and, I don't know if I'm going to be back.
and he
knew he was coming back.
Of course.
You know, and it's just the way, it's the Laker way, I guess.
I guess so. Okay, that's one thing. What's next?
Well, I think John Buchagrass, who I really like, Bucci should be in the studio and Steve Levy should be calling the games. My opinion.
Buchagrass is okay, but I agree. Bucci's more of a studio guy.
I love him, and he's a big proponent of college hockey, and of course he was calling the Frozen Four, and obviously DU won it, and just the more I listen to John as a play-by-play guy, he's good. He's good. But Steve Levy is a hockey play-by-play guy, one of the top-level ones in my mind. And Bucci is, more of a studio guy.
I agree. The Buckeye boy, we had the comments about the Wii that was being used a lot in the Frozen Four.
Yeah, the color guy for Boston during the BU game was said Wii a lot.
What's this Wii stuff? What is this?
Yeah, so the funny, I didn't see the semifinal game because I was at youth sporting events across northern Colorado. But there's no Wii on a national broadcast, and I'm a little weary of it on local broadcasts as well, even for former players, because I have Adam Nygaard as a former guard for CSU as my basketball analyst, Ricky Brewer, former Ram linebacker. Certainly the Rams are associated with the program, but they're still not in that locker room in that given year. So it's we bothers me. But on a national broadcast, we should never come out of anybody's mouth unless you're talking about both of you up in the booth.
Absolutely. Spot on that. It drives me nuts. I don't like we in any broadcast situation, regardless.
Yeah.
I think it's, unless you're talking about you and your broadcast partner, we're in the booth. Other than that, no. I don't play for the team.
We didn't see it from up here, but the official had a better view of it. Right?
That's like perfectly accurate, appropriate, good use of the English language. I mean, when you're, we've got to get a touchdown here. Well, they have to get a touchdown. You're describing it up here in the booth. Yeah, I'm with you on that. So. Okay, before we talk about the spring game, Broncos, new uniforms, your reaction?
I don't know. Maybe I'll like them better when they get on the field. I mean, I think if you watched and looked at social media on Monday when they came out, and then, of course, they announced the throwback uniforms, I mean, the amount of people that just wanted to go back to, they put out the 1977 uniforms, I mean, those things are perfect. I was hoping they'd bring back the sky blue, ditch the navy blue, and just kind of go back to that sky blue and that orange and the classic Broncos. And maybe it's just because that's what I grew up with. Although, look, I was 25 when I was 23 when they changed the uniform. So, and they've been around just long enough. But, I've got to see them. But it seems so simple to give the fan base what they wanted, and yet they just couldn't do it for whatever reason it was. They couldn't do it.
Yeah, the pictures of Sertan in the throwback, I mean, it just it just looks so classic, so good. It's I love those the stripes on the socks. Just that uniform is perfect. It's I wish they would just go with that and stay with that.
So somebody photoshopped that, I saw it on Twitter, where it's the old school uniforms, and it was actually of Justin Simmons wearing it. Where the they said the alternative uniforms could be just the sky blue, old school blue, and the old style uniforms, and make it blue tops, blue bottoms. And there's a Photoshop picture of Justin Simmons in it, and it looks as good as a uniform can possibly look. I think they missed an easy one. I think they missed the low-hanging fruit, because they probably paid some creative marketing company, $1 million to redesign them. So,
The orange jersey, white pants looks fine. It's okay. The orange on orange is absolutely hideous. It's just... It looks like a traffic cone. It just looks terrible.
Horrible. We'll see what they look like, when you get them in person, and when you watch them on TV, or if you're at the game, and maybe we'll all come around to it. Maybe we will, but it just seems like there's just a big missed opportunity.
All right, Brian Roth with us today. So one last Broncos thing before we talk Rams. Zach Wilson, now a Denver Bronco. Hey, for those, they're probably going to try to encourage him to wear three so people can save some money on their Wilson jerseys. I would like to think that's what Denver will try to encourage. And so he'll feel loved by somebody, outside of,
and not have to change the, hey, three, you suck.
Moms and aunts, which he apparently has an affinity for. That he'll feel like he's got some fan support with all those Wilson jerseys in the stands.
That is funny. I have not thought about that. I mean, look, you got to have warm bodies in the quarterback room, right?
Right.
So may as well take a flyer to see if a reset for Zach Wilson. I mean, again, he was the number two quarterback in the draft a few years ago, or the number two overall pick and number two quarterback in the draft for good reason. He had talent, but of course, it's always a crapshoot. Maybe, just maybe, he comes here and a reset and. All of a sudden it clicks. I'm not counting on that, but maybe you can hope for it. But I think I think it was the middle of the season last year when I said I think Jared Stidham could be the starting quarterback for the Broncos coming up next year. And right now that's still lining up.
Yeah, your prediction is still very much in line right now. There's still a chance that could happen. You never know. Yeah. Who do you think?
And I'm disgusted by it, but yes.
but that is what your prediction is.
Yeah.
Who do you think they take tomorrow?
Oh, man. I who knows? I don't know if they have enough draft capital to move up and get a top-tier quarterback. I can see them sliding back and taking... Bo Nix or even taking a Michael Penix later and moving back to get him. But, you've got to draft a quarterback. You have to. I mean, you need young guys in here, and maybe you hit on a Penix in the second round and he turns out to be really good. But it's just such a crapshoot. As that quarterback draft from a few years ago with Zach Wilson in it clearly says, I mean, what, the five first-round draft picks from – a few years ago, four of them are on different teams.
Yeah.
It's only Trevor Lawrence is on the same team. So, I mean, nobody knows who's going to turn out to be a good player. But the fact of the matter is the Broncos need dudes in that quarterback room.
They need dudes everywhere. And one of the places they need dudes, in my opinion, is tight end. Dallin Holker could be one of those dudes. I think if Denver can get Dallin Holker, I think that would – I mean, Brock Bowers is great. But Dallin Holker would be, I think, an absolutely great pickup for the Broncos if they can draft him this weekend.
Well, it would be fun. And of course, I was hoping a couple of years ago that the Broncos would go with Trey McBride. They didn't. And then in the third round, they took Greg Dulcich, and who looked pretty good when he was actually on the field. But therein lies the problem. He's never on the field, and his career's up in smoke, essentially. So I would love to see a Colorado State tight end out there playing for the Broncos.
That'd be fantastic. We'll see if that happens this weekend. So the spring game was last weekend. Mother Nature wasn't exactly cooperating with the best weather day over in Fort Collins last weekend for the spring game. But it was the ones, the green, against the world, the white. And as Jay Norvell likes to do this, he gives the world team the 21-0 lead. Ended up being, 28-17 in the scrimmage. But the ones outscored the backups 17-7. Just, I know there was a lot of offensive linemen that did not play in that game, in the spring game. I know that Jay Norvell, according to the Denver Post, said it was a little tough to get much offensive continuity in that game because of a limited number of offensive linemen available. But your takeaway, Brian, from what Rams fans had the chance to watch with the spring game?
Yeah, I mean, first off, the weather was awful, and it's too bad because it's back-to-back years in which the weather wasn't very good at the spring game. And, that happens, and certainly it cut back on some of the fan base coming out and being able to get, a sneak peek at the 2024 Colorado State Rams. And take the game for what it is. I mean, it's basically a scrimmage that the Rams had and used as their 15th practice. And I know they, put some window dressing on it with the scoring and all of that stuff, but really you can't take much of anything out of that game other than the fact that the Rams stayed relatively healthy. There was a couple of guys that went down, but nothing serious and certainly nothing to anybody that's projected to be in the starting lineup or even the two deep. So that's first and foremost the thing you want to come out of a spring game with is health, and health for key guys. But so many players were not playing. And of course, Torrey Horton, he was out there returning punts on non-live special team stuff, but Torrey Horton's not out there. You mentioned the offensive line. A bunch of offensive linemen were out. Justin Marshall, who came on to the end of the season at running back and averaged over 100 yards per game in the final three games. He's going to be the number one guy at running back. He did not play. And so, so many guys across the board that were out. It's really hard to take anything from that. First-team offense did not look very good. Braden Fowler-Losey did not look very good, but again, comes with the caveat that you just didn't have a lot of guys. But it's a Colorado State team that, as you look at them going into the summer and into the fall, they have some weapons on offense. Three returning offensive linemen are back. Again, you get Justin Marshall back. You get Braden Fowler-Losey, a kid who threw for over 3,400 yards last year, 22 touchdowns. He certainly has to clear up some of those mistakes. He threw for an FBS high 16 interceptions last season. Cannot have a repeat performance of that here this year. But there are some pieces in place to be excited. Now, obviously, the portal opens again. It opened, I think, last Monday, 9 days ago, for the spring portal. And see who you lose, see who you bring in. And hopefully you just don't sustain any major losses in the portal. You can't lose one of your top dudes going into the summer.
Brian Roth, voice of CSU Rams, with us today on the Team Sports Network. Of who did kind of stand out in the scrimmage in the spring game, Brian, was there a player or two that kind of caught your eye when you were out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple guys. I'd really like the backup quarterback for Colorado State, Jackson Brousseau. He's a kid from Lehigh, Utah. He's a redshirt freshman, 6'4". I mean, he won back-to-back state championships at the highest level in the state of Utah, was a state champion in baseball, an all-state basketball guy. I mean, and you watch him play. I don't expect Braden Fowler-Nicolosi to struggle this year, but if for some reason he does, I think Jackson Brousseau is a really good quarterback that Colorado State has on the number two spot, and the coaching staff absolutely loves him. So he's a guy to kind of keep your eye on as we move forward. Damian Henderson was a four-star running back coming out of high school last year, played in a couple of games. He's going to be the number two guy, I think, behind Justin Marshall. Both those guys are now going to be redshirt freshmen. He's one of those guys that has big-time ability. And then a guy in Donovan Ollie, a wide receiver, transfer from Cincinnati, big body, 6'3", 215 pounds, and really a guy that didn't play a ton at Cincinnati last year, but the previous 3 years he was at Washington State and had well over 1,000 yards receiving. He had two touchdowns against the Rams in a game against Washington State 2 years ago up in Pullman. Just another target for Colorado State. Then on the defensive end, linebacker Boom Jock. Where's number 49? And played last year as a true freshman at 34 tackles, looks the part, 6'4", 230 pounds. His parents are originally from Africa. They moved to the United States. He grew up in Minnesota. And I think he's one of those guys, Jim, that has a big year this year. CSU is going to have a hard time holding on to him. He's that type of guy. You look at him, and he's a power five body. So Boom Jock, number 49, is the guy to watch out for on the defensive end.